You're listening to the Habitology Podcast with Melanie White, and today I'm talking about how to successfully market yourself at events to secure new customers. I love events. They are such a great way to promote your business and find new clients because you're in front of thousands of people at once. So today I'd like to share some tips and key insights from the Workplace Wellbeing Festival that I attended on the 21st and 22nd of June 2023 in Sydney. I was there with a couple of team members to prospect and qualify new leads for Sage Women's Health, and this is a new company that I've co-founded that helps menopausal women to stay well and at work. By the end of this episode, you're going to have some great ideas on how you can engage with leads and secure new leads and identify prospective clients at events. There are really five things for you to do, so this is a five-step process for you to go through. And the first step is choosing the right event and setting goals. And the reason I put this first is that if you're going to go to the expense and the bother of attending an event or even to have a booth at an event like I just have to find potential clients, it's obviously essential that you choose the right event so that it's worth your time and money. So how do you choose the right event? Well, firstly, think about your niche and within that, your high chemistry client, which is the type of person you have really great chemistry and rapport with, and then ask yourself two questions. Number one, are they going to be at the event? And number two, why will they be there and what will they be looking to achieve or what will they be seeking? I want to give you a couple of examples of events that I've attended, not just the Wellbeing Festival, but another one in the past that have been really worthwhile. So the first one was the annual Health Expo in Maruya, 2014. This is just down the road from me, a little town. And the event showcased all of the health-related businesses in the region. So obviously the people who attend that are people who care about health and would spend money on health. That's who's going to attend. So it was really a no-brainer for me to go there and have a booth, and it was a great opportunity to showcase my weight loss coaching business at the time. I got in front of a lot of people, and even if they didn't buy, they knew who I was and what I was doing, and that's the essence of the first stage of marketing. As I mentioned, this Workplace Wellbeing Festival in Sydney, my target market for the new business Sage Women's Health, we're all at this event. It's HR managers looking to bring wellness-based solutions to the workforce and particularly around menopause. So looking at last year's version of this event, it was clear that my target market was going to be there. The focus is on employee wellbeing, and many of the attendees were heads of HR or head of culture or wellbeing, people, talent, and those sorts of things. A very good fit for this new business. So great, you're in the right place, you've found an event that you want to attend or have a booth at, and you can afford it. What next? Well, you've decided to attend or invest. What are your goals for the event? You really need to make it worth your while by having some clear and specific goals. Here's an example of mine for this Workplace Wellbeing Festival. We knew that last year there were around 3,000 delegates at that conference. So that's a lot of people. Four of us from the team were at a startup booth for the event. So we set some goals around the predicted number of people. We thought between four of us, we could have 90 conversations over 2 days of the event. And of those, we wanted to qualify 10 at least to secure follow-up meetings. So that's 10 people who really were interested and got what we were doing and wanted to know more. And from that, we wanted to create 3 customers of the 10. In other words, for the time and energy and preparation we put into planning this event, we wanted to make sure it would be worth our while and meet our business goals. So we got really specific. These numbers are in progress at the time of me recording this episode, but what I can tell you so far is that we secured 48 leads from around 50 conversations, which is a bit short of our 90 conversation goal. But we're definitely on track for securing 10 follow-up meetings with qualified customers. And if you're not sure what a qualified customer is, it just means that they're really aligned with what you're doing they're ready, willing, and able to take the next steps with you. They're pretty clear that what you're doing meets a need that they have. So the next thing to think about with an event is how to plan for it. And it's so critical that you show up feeling prepared, looking professional, and being polished. Planning generally involves setting goals, as I've just described, but also considering what you're going to do to stand out and be remembered and engage the audience, including what you're going to say to people and how you'll have those conversations. Some people at events I've been to in the past 2 years use bowls of lollies or drinks to attract people to their booths, maybe branded pens or notepads, those sorts of things. And some people even had games at the workplace wellbeing festival that you could play darts and a flashing light game. It was with reaction times. It's pretty interesting to see what was there. We wanted something with longevity, so we decided to get some cotton bags printed with the Sage Women's Health logo on them, because these are going to outlast all of those other things. You know, pens run out, notepads run out, but not shopping bags. And that branding will keep us front of mind when those people are out and about in daily life. But anything like this, pens, notepads, fridge magnets, squeezy stress balls, annual calendars, mouse pads, can keep you in the customer's mind after event, if you can afford it. If you can't, there are other things that you can do. For example, we created a one-page marketing flyer with an outline of the problem that our typical niche clients face in relation to menopause or women at work, and how our solution helps them in terms of not just the services that we deliver, but the outcomes it gets for the business. We put one of those in each of our calico bags, along with a business card. As part of our planning, therefore, we had the planning and logistics around getting those things designed, printed, delivered, and we also figured out what we were going to wear and how our conversations would go and what our key messages were. And to get those key messages right, we discussed some of the conversations we'd had individually in the past with people in this area. We looked on LinkedIn and did a bit of social listening to see what sorts of topics people were talking about. And all of that helped us figure out what to say and how to say it when we were in front of our ideal clients. Also, please know that one of the value adds of being at this event is that you get to shape your messaging in response to the conversations that you're having. So you don't go there expecting to know everything, but you actually shape and frame your messaging as you learn more about your client base. That leads into the next point, which I mentioned in the last episode of this podcast: seek first to understand. And the reason I want to highlight it here is because when you have a booth at an expo or some sort of event, somebody is going to come up to you and say, Sage Women's Health, or your business name, tell me what do you do? And the rookie mistake is to say, well, I do blah, 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 blah. It's the response, because they've asked you the question, so you feel like you should naturally respond to that. The better approach is to flip that around and do that Stephen Covey method of seek first to understand and then be understood. So you're flipping that conversation around and say, I'd love to answer your question, but so that it's relevant, could I first ask you a few things about your business and what's going on, what's working, what's not, and what the initiatives are? Would that be okay? And then what you're doing is asking them a few questions to unpack how this issue is impacting their workforce. You're bringing all of your being and doing skills to the table, listening actively, being warm, asking questions about them, being empathetic, reflecting what you heard, and so on. All of those things build rapport, relationship, and trust, which are all important for securing the next step and building relationship. And I talked about this extensively in the last episode. Also, when they're telling you their story, it really helps you to see if they are a fit for you or not. And it helps you to identify potential gaps that they have and position your solution around those gaps. So, for example, if I'm at that festival and someone says, gee, we don't have a menopause policy at work. We've got 80% of our women are in that demographic and we're worried about them leaving and we don't have any initiatives in place. It's clear what the gaps are. And so when I'm explaining what the company does, I can highlight those things that are important to that person. The other thing you're looking for is what's not being said, which is another key coaching skill. You can hear in someone's tone of voice how engaged they are. You can tell by the specificity and the depth of their story as to how well they know the issue and how important is it if it is for them. You can hear the frustration or despair or irritation when they talk about the problems that they're facing or their business is facing, and the heartfelt compassion that they have for the desired outcome. Those are the people that you really want to follow up with a meeting. Anyone else is probably unlikely to be ready, willing, and able to make changes, and that means they probably won't buy from you. But those people who are less engaged can be invited to your mailing list instead or referred to someone else. So for me, in that festival last week, there were people who were kind of curious and perhaps just wanted to bring some education to the workforce. And they talked about it like that, and they didn't have much of a story. But then there were others who went in depth to tell us about their workforce and how they felt about their workforce and their needs and how that was affecting those individual people and what that might mean for the business. So it was clear that they'd done a lot of thinking work about the problem and they were really struggling to understand how to solve it. They're far more along their readiness to change scale and far more a better fit for our business. I guess the next point in this process, point number four is to be direct and specific. Somebody's just downloaded a story and they've talked about some key points. And that's where you get to position your business offering, as long as it's within your normal range of services, of course, not offering to do something that you can't do. And I guess the key point here is not to waffle and have a long convoluted spiel that's generic and will turn people off. You want to be short and to the point and then unpack that conversation with them and with their permission. So how do you figure out if they're engaged? Use your coaching skills of noticing their body language. As you start to give the big picture outline of what you do and how you could help, notice, well, are they engaged? Are they falling asleep? Are they turning away as if to escape? That's how you'll know. And so the best way, as I've just mentioned, is to start with an overview. For example, if somebody's asking me about how I work with people, I say, look, what we generally do is we start with a discovery call to get clear on your needs and see if we're a fit for working together. And from there, if there is a need, we discuss options to help you solve ABC in order to achieve XYZ. So that basic formula with ABC, that's the problems, and XYZ is the outcomes. And they're the things that they mentioned earlier in the conversation when they were telling you about what was going on for them. So you're plugging their problems and their words, and their desired outcomes in their words, into your overview summary. If they want more detail, then you can speak with more detail. For example, when I was speaking to businesses last week about working with women in menopause, a couple of the companies I spoke to worked with people in the caring profession. So I was able to talk about issues of compassion fatigue and not making enough time for self-care, which can lead to burnout. They knew straight away that I understood their workforce. And that they were some of the words that they'd been talking about, but not explicitly used. So because I was able to talk to their industry needs, they had a sense that I understood them and I could be trusted. So when you've had that initial conversation and maybe they're asking questions and unpacking a bit more about what you do and how you work with people, the next step is logically to ask if you can connect with them and follow up after the event for a discovery call or a coffee chat or whatever it is. And that leads to the final point, following up. I did an entire podcast episode on this recently. And the saying is that leads go cold within 72 hours. For live events, I speculate it might be more like a week or two before this happens. But the further time gets from that event, the less likely they are to remember you. So in either case, the message is really clear. Get onto the messaging email or phone call to follow up with them as soon as possible after the event. Otherwise, your hard work's going down the drain. Your follow-up message might mention your conversation to remind them. For example, we met at this event and we spoke about this particular thing. And then you might invite them to a virtual coffee or a discovery call or whatever it was that you mentioned as being the next step when you met them in person. And if the person doesn't respond, give it two or three more goes. People are busy. They think they're going to respond and they forget. They draft a response and never send it, or they miss it. Try in different channels. Try through LinkedIn message and then email to make sure that the message goes through. The stats on cold selling or sales conversations indicate that you'd normally get a close after 5 conversations with somebody. But I think that in-person follow-ups might only need 3 or perhaps 4. Just remember, it's not about you necessarily, and you can give them the option to say, no, thanks. If this isn't for you, that's okay. Please let me know either way. Then you're giving them permission to say no, and it's easy for everybody. So let's sum up today's episode. Events are a great way to get in front of a lot of people to showcase how you help people. And today we talked about the importance of choosing the right event, setting goals, planning your approach, and then using your coaching skills to engage people, keeping your offer simple and straightforward and following up right away. My question to you is, what's the next event that you could attend and have an impact at so that you can use these 5 steps? Let us know in the comments. And otherwise, I hope you have a fantastic week. I look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.